Well, you know, a lot of times we talk about literacy in the sense of being able to read and comprehend. But a lot of times, even though we may be literate in other areas, we may not be financially literate.
You know, it's really tough because depending on when you grew up and the school system you grew up in, you'll find out whether or not you've actually got some training in this. You've actually learned it in school. And, you know, listen, I have to also tell you that when we look at financial literacy, it always seems like this lofty, amazing goal. I just want everyone to understand that we're still human beings. Even if you are really financially literate, you're often going to make boneheaded moves with your finances just because, you know, it's very emotional. So in Financial Literacy Month, what the emphasis is that you get a lot of financial institutions kind of encouraging you to talk about some of these issues with your kids. And it's also a good way for you to actually freshen up your own financial literacy. And I have to say that I really felt like the whole month kind of got away from me as someone who loves talking about financial literacy because of the news cycle. So I tried to take a bunch of questions that I've been receiving lately about what's going on in the news and weave that into financial literacy, you know, whether it's about the bond market or how do you explain compounding to your kids. And one of my favorites I just want to tell you is I've gotten so many emails from listeners who want to know that, you know, if you're looking at all these huge cuts to government programs, the question is that I keep getting is, should I be worried about Social Security? A lot of people who say to me, you know, maybe I should claim early. I want to lock in before things change. And, you know, listen, Social Security, a top source of income for Americans in retirement. I understand that. The thing is, I don't really think that the administration is going to be messing with Social Security benefits. So remember, three big ages with Social Security. Age 62 is the earliest point you can claim your Social Security benefit. But if you claim at 62, you get a permanent reduction in your benefits over your life. And if you have a spouse who didn't work and is relying on your benefit, that's a reduction for your spouse as well. Then you have this next age, which is your full retirement age. For most folks, it's 67 if you're born after 1960. And that's where you get more money for the rest of your life. And if you wait until age 70, you get what's called a delayed retirement benefit. That amounts to almost an 8% a year increase in your benefit. And remember, Social Security benefits are indexed for inflation. So the longer you wait, the more money you get, and that money makes more money in the future. So that's my little Social Security 101 for financial literacy.
And I guess, Jill, that when they ask you what age should they wait to, you probably can't give a one-size-fits-all answer because people's circumstances vary. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, listen, I learned this kind of firsthand when during COVID also, where people were really freaking out and they were maybe they were 62 or 61 and they thought they'd be working till they're 65, but they lost their jobs. And so, you know, listen, if you can't wait because you simply can't afford to wait, I understand that. But if you can afford to wait, if you save some money in a retirement account and you can tap that money, if you can kind of figure out a way to, you know, maybe stitch together some income, it truly will work to your benefit over time. And the only other type of person who might want to claim early is someone who's got bad health, a bad health outcome, a bad, you know, you've got a condition where you're like, hey, Jill, I'm not going to live that long. I want to get the money now. Sure, go ahead and claim. But before you claim early or you claim because you're nervous about the system, please don't necessarily act alone. You know, get in touch with someone, get in touch with me. You know, I have a website. I answer questions from your listeners all the time. So you're not alone.
You know, Jill, we have heard so much in the last few weeks with the volatility that we've seen in the stock market of people very concerned, particularly retired people, about their 401ks. And, you know, we always hear the advice, don't panic, but it becomes emotional for those people when paper losses aren't just paper for them.
Well, I started working for CBS News right during the Great Recession and the markets were terrible. And I once went on the air and I said, don't panic. And my mother called me up after and she goes, don't you dare tell me not to panic. That's how I feel. And I think that was very good advice, Mom. Thank you. Because you do feel, you know, and I, again, we are human beings. We have emotions. But what I'm trying to get people to do is look at those feelings and say, okay, wait a second. Do I need my money right now? If I don't, can I take a breath, and look past this period, and maybe I can get through it. Because what's nerve-wracking to me is when I hear from someone who says, I just sold everything. I went to cash. I couldn't bear it anymore. And then I say, okay, so tell me, what's the game plan? Are you going to get back in? Do you have a plan to get back in? And often it's so hard. I mean, market timing that movement in the market is impossible, because even if you were lucky enough to say, oh, I sold on February 19th, it was the all-time high of the S&P 500 index. Sure, great. When are you going to get back in? You have to make two perfect decisions. So even when you're really nervous and the volatility is awful, it's a good time to just say to yourself, okay, wait, do I need my money in the next year or two? Do I not? If I don't need the money, can I just hang in there, remind myself that I'm a long-term investor, and get through this agonizing period?
Well, Jill, thank you so much for your efforts in keeping us financially literate every week, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
Take care. Thank you.